believe are not Hindu religions have been made in the text. And one of the comparisons made by the Buddha himself was that once you are obsessed with this sense desire of hindrance or obsession, you are said to be like one in debt. You're owing something to another person. And if you are in debt, you have to be respectful to him or her. Also, when you are obsessed with a sense desire hindrance, you have to respect the objects which you desire, desire objects. In old days, especially, when you owe something to another person, you have to pay respect to him or her, and as has been said in the text. Nowadays also there can be such events, and it's quite natural in the world that if you owe something to another person, you have to revere him or her, or respect him or her. If you have a creditor, the one to whom you owe something, money especially, you have to be tolerant towards him or her. You have to bear whatever he or she says, and you have to do whatever he or she asks you to do. And that has existed in the old days. Nowadays also, there will be such incidences. If you desire an object, you have to be respectful towards that object. You have to keep it in good condition, keep it in storage, so as not to break it or lose it. And you have to respect it. The more you desire, the more you have to respect such objects. And more so if the object is an animate, a living thing. So for instance, the couple, wife or the husband, they have to be respectful to each other, especially those people who have just been just got married, they have to be very respectful to each other. Of course, he has not experienced that, but he knows that such things would exist. And one has got to bear whatever another person says or does, and one has got to be tolerant towards another better half. That has been said in the text. Especially in the course of the practice, in the retreat, if you have thought about such obsessions, desiring something, then you have to consider yourself as you are in debt. So, by considering that you are in debt, you owe something to somebody, you've got to note it off so that you will not be in debt anymore. You will be paying back a debt, so to speak. The example given was that recently there was a couple who came to practice some meditation, and they were paying each other's debts. So they are in debt to each other, so much so that they cannot undertake the practice, so that they had to leave retreat. That is one example of how, when one is overwhelmed by this kind of obsession, that is obsession of hindrance of sense desire, one cannot undertake the practice anymore. If one is upset,
yoga swakani.
After kami chanda comes jabara nirana, hindrance of ill will or anger, or in Pali known as dosa. If one is obsessed with this kind of hindrance or obsession, then one is like being contracted with the disease. 这也抽象是虚惊，
是吧？另外看那个。
If one is obsessed with this hindrance of heroes, then one is said to be destroying one's own prosperity and others. When this happens, then the natural attitude or character is said to have changed. Now the natural attitude of human beings from the beginning of this world is the attitude towards mutual welfare or prosperity. Such is the natural attitude or natural character of human beings, wishing for one's welfare of oneself as well as others. Now this natural attitude changes once you're obsessed with the obsession or hindrance of ill will.
လူရဲ့အစည်းအဝေးဖြစ်မှဆိုတာကိုနှုတ်ပြောစီပဂရီလူလက်ဆူဆောင
်းသူကပြူရီ
လက်ဆူဆောင်းတယ်ကွာ
သူ real welfare in human being is to towards purityTowards channel behavior, towards peace and amiable behavior, conducting by way of the three training, morality, concentration and wisdom, in terms of the three trainings. That is the practice of real welfare. That is the real welfare for oneself and others also will have the same attitude.One does not wish this kind of real welfare. When this one is overwhelmed by this obsession of ill will, then one's original or natural behavior is said to be destroyed by this ill will towards us. One's welfare and prosperity are destroyed, and because one's welfare is destroyed, others' welfare also will be destroyed.By this anger or ill will. Like when the food gets rotten, then it becomes fermented, it has to be thrown away, it will go bad. So too with the mind, with the mentality, once the anger or ill will gets into one's stream of consciousness, then one's mind is set fermented or become rotten.
这个你也好还能见你的那当时了吗
第一次就是刚这个第一次这是他的身
体看到你的情况
这是kind of the sense and ill will, possession of ill will is compared to one who is contracted with this disease. If a person is suffering from a very serious disease, then however much there are facilities for enjoyment, he or she will not be able to enjoy such pleasures. And nowadays there are many kinds of diseases, such as plague, malaria, AIDS, and SARS, and so on. Once these diseases come in, or you're contracted with it, you will not be able to enjoy anything, however much the facilities are placed at your disposal. You'll be only complaining about disease, about your pain, and you will not be able to enjoy all these. Even there are some entertainments around you, you'll not be able to enjoy them.So you can compare this to your own personal experience when you get sick. So even if there's good food, you're not even able to enjoy that meal. And sweet food may become, it tastes just as bitter, And so too, when once you are overwhelmed with the symbol, then you're not able to enjoy anything.
So now, when you are overwhelmed with the symbol,
Once you become angry or upset, then you will not be able to bear with other things, other people. And in such cases, you should have attitude for the welfare of other people. You should wish for the welfare of others. You should bear them, be tolerant and be patient, and have compassionate feeling towards others. This, in this way, you will be doing for your own welfare. And if you possess metta, karuna, loving kindness and compassion, then you will be able to live happily. And only when you know how to live with the welfare for oneself and others, you will be able to live happily. If you are angry on your own, then you will not be wishing for the welfare of yourself and others, so you will not be able to live happily. So, however much, suppose you are having some problem with another person, or quarreling, however much other people, another person will come in between to pacify your quarrel or quarreling, you will not be able to accept such such behavior. It is like you are being contracted with a disease.
Now we are
so do with the is like a It's like contagious diseases, like plague, malaria, AIDS, SARS. People are afraid to go near such a person who is contracted with such contagious disease. So too with the anger or ill will, nobody wants to come near him or her who is angry, like a disease, or like a person who is contracted with a disease. And especially in the course of practice, if the yogi is in such a situation, when a person is conceited, proud, so much so that he or she does not want to accept the meditation teacher's instructions or advice, then for such people, meditation teachers and other people also will shun them, like a person or like those who are contracted with contagious diseases. When such things happen, one can, even if one is not practicing the meditation, if one is living a normal life, one can overcome this kind of ill will by just intellectual reasoning, by developing loving kindness, having wishing well for the others, either for towards one person or more persons. Seeing only the lovable aspect of that person instead of the despicable aspect of that person, wishing for his or her welfare, then you'll be thinking for the welfare of that person. There will be only loving kindness, metta towards that other person, which is directly opposite of ill will.
ก็ที
่ such kind
ยังเกี่ยมยูเนี่ยคนที่ต้องหุ่นไม่ต่างกว่าเลยนี่เนี่ยเลยเว้ยที่จะมาละกูใส่โซ่ดูยากเลย
such kind of mentality that is wishing for another person seeing only the lovable aspect not the despicable aspect of another person instead of being overwhelmed by human happens only in those people who see things in a constructive way or correct those who possess correct attention. Everybody has his or her good points as much as bad points, lovable aspects as much as despicable, unlovable aspects. So if you look at the bad aspect of another person, then there will be no end about ill will. But if you look at the lovable aspect of that person, how he or she possesses good aspects, physically, verbally, or mentally, if you know how to look at such lovable aspects, then you will be wishing for his or her welfare. That is the natural characteristic of loving kindness, metta. In this way, with the loving kindness in your mind, if you just have this mentality, then you can materialize this mentality into physical and verbal behaviors. That is, to manifest your loving kindness in terms of physical and verbal behaviors. And in this way, you'll be able to materialize your mental attitude of loving kindness. Then there will be no more enemies. Your feeling of enemy will also be overcome. So that there will be no more Tiyavada ill will, and this kind of mentality will be extinguished. So you should wish for the welfare of another person. In this way, your internal enemy or enemy within is said to be subdued. There will be no wrongdoing by indulging in this ill will. So this can be done by means of intellectual reasoning or by the development of loving kindness, metta.
I go
towards international. Nowadays in international relations, there are the differences of opinion. They are all due to this anger because they cannot control this ill will towards each other or one another. Therefore, it is better to prevent it from arising, and if it arises, one has got to overcome it either by intellectual reasoning or by mindfulness practice. And when this happens in the course of the practice, one has got to overcome it in the spirit of by practicing in the spirit of satipatthana. That is, when anger or ill will arises in you, all you have to do is just know and overcome. Prevent it from rising, and if it happens, then just blow them off.
ဒီကနေ့ရတော့အလွယ်ဆုံးပါပဲဖြစ်ပေါ်လာလို့ရှိရင်ရှုမှတ်ပြီးတော့ဘယ်ဟာစိတ်ဆိုးရဲစိတ်ဆိုးရဲစိတ်ဖြစ်တဲ့စသည
် In this way, one has got to know and overcome this ill will. When one is obsessed with this kind of obsession, then afterit has gone, you can enter into a smooth relationship with your friends or relatives. And such is for the welfare of yourself and others. So in order to be able to overcome that, the late Venerable Mahasacharya has given this maxim, niyama, that ill will is like a disease that needs to be overcome. Overcome means by noting in the spirit of satipatthana.
ทินามิตายกต่อไปทินามิตานิวรณะ
ส Sankhans China Meda Nivarana, that hindrance to progress, namely sloth and torpor, that is the sluggishness of mind and mental states, as regards the first one, sloth, China, it means lack of exhaustion in the practice of high level discipline on the way of mindfulness in order to uplift your mind and insight. And in the case of the Vidya, Topo, it means that although you start exerting your energy, very soon you get exhausted. The mind becomes very slimy and cohesive, like a butter or something, which solidifies on cooling. So when you are trying to uplift yourself with the practice of Satipatthana, you have to be most energetic in the practice. Instead, if you are sluggish, if you are lax or slack, then it amounts to being overcome by this obsession of the hindrance of sloth and torpor. In such wholesome actions like generosity, giving dana and giving service, you should be energetic. Instead of being energetic, you are sluggish. Such kind of obsession is known as Chinnamedha, sloth and torpor. And also in the reflection of Buddha's quality, you are not energetic, you are sluggish. And also in listening to the talks, if you are not interested, not keen, then also it is tantamount to being overcome by sloth and torpor. And in the practice of meditation also, if you are slack, lackluster, behaving like a patient who does not want to eat or drink anything, you are not getting interested, you're losing interest in the practice. Such kind of thing are known as China Meta, sloth and torpor. And once you are overcome by this obsession of China Meta, sloth and torpor, you are compared to in the text as being like a person who is locked up, or locked up in a prison. This is how one is compared to a person who has been locked up due to having committed any crime, like a criminal being jailed. So when one is locked up in this way, even if there is some entertainment outside, he or she will not be able to enjoy such entertainments. However much people talk about it, he or she will not be able to listen to such things, because he or she is lazy and sluggish. And the practice of meditation, also in listening to the talks, he or she is not interested, he's not keen, even if he or she is practicing or listening. At that time, wakeful, he or she is not wakeful in the practice, he or she is not diligent in the practice of meditation. Although somebody will come and talk about the good things of the practice of Dhamma, he or she will not be able to listen to it and enjoy such delight of the Dhamma. The reason lies in his or her being sloth and torpor, lack of interest, lackluster, being slack, and lackadaisical. So the Buddha has said that when one is going to practice this high-level discipline of the way of mindfulness in order to uplift or develop the mind and insight, especially when one is beginning to undertake the practice, one should be energetic and be able to apply ardent energy. And such is given as ardentito, without being sluggish or slack. So if one is overcome by this sloth and torpor, then one will not be able to undertake the practice at all in order to develop the mind and insight. Or even if one practices, if one is becoming losing interest and becoming lazy, then one will not be able to gain the experience of the Dhamma. Hence, this southern topa is given as the closed internal enemy, enemy within. And if one is not able to overcome that, one will lose one's prejudice, and one will not be able to gain insight as required. Such has been explained in the text. When one is overcome by that love and trouble, obsession, then one is like a person being locked up. So if one becomes lazy, sluggish, then one has got to note and abandon. Otherwise, you're like a person who's being locked up, and you're bound to suffer. So you apply these mental powers, such as focusing, applying your mind to the object of attention, so that your mind becomes very active, and so that your little mind will become concurrent with the object of attention. And then apply this energetic energy, so that you become energetic. You become energetic, and thus open up your energy. You become active. In this way, you overcome this thought and torpor. Just like giving heat to something which is slimy or solid, and this sliminess or solidity will melt and become fluid. So too, when you apply these two things, focusing and energy, your mind will become very active. Atapa lunavariya, that means the ardent energy, which needs to be applied in order not to allow these sloth and torpor to enter your stream of consciousness. If at all they enter your stream of consciousness, all you have to do is just overcome it. Hence the maxim given by the Venerable Master Shero, sloth and torpor are like being locked up. That need to be overcome by means of satipatthana. Yeah, for the day. There's one announcement to be made by a lady, and she'll be